Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. That's really good to be back. And I forgot how much I missed you guys. Joan said she got a little tired of eating rice, so it's good to have a hamburger and be back in the States. We got back. We're still getting over our jet lag. We're not as young as we used to be, so it takes a while. But relaxing a little bit on Friday night on Netflix, we caught the program The Two Popes. It's about Pope Benedict and Pope Francis, and the transition when Pope Benedict resigned and Francis became Pope. It's very, very interesting. It had me thinking about popes. And my favorite pope, the 20th century, was John the 23rd. And if you remember, John the 23rd was the one who opened Vatican II. He wanted to open the windows of the Vatican, let the fresh air blow through. And some of the things that they started in the Vatican II were wonderful. In fact, if Vatican II happened when Martin Luther was around, the church would have been reformed, and we would be part of the one holy Catholic Church. But ever since Vatican II, it seems the church got more conservative. I mean, if Vatican II continued, we would have had probably married priests by now. Maybe women would have been ordained, but there was a backlash and the last few popes. But Pope Francis seems to be following in the spirit of Vatican II, so there's always hope. But Pope John the 23rd, as he opened Vatican II, part of his sermon was this. They say that our era, in comparison with the past eras, is getting worse. We feel that we must disagree with those prophets of doom who are always forecasting disaster as though the end of the world were at hand. Rather, we need to be about the good news of Jesus Christ. We need to be about the evangel. We need to be, let the better angels of our souls rule. In this Advent season, it is good for us, I think, to hear the words of Pope John the 23rd again. In many ways, we are victims of the powers and moods and principalities of this age. Televisions, magazines, the internet, iPhones, all the rest bombard us with stories of fires and rapes and murders and dysfunctional human relationships and impeached immoral presidents and terrorists attacking, shifting weather patterns, the rich getting richer, the poor getting poorer, and the middle class being wiped out, gun murder after gun murder after gun murder after gun murder. And all the while this is true, in many ways we Christians can fall also victim to the meaner, ruder, cynical, more nihilistic, more fearful spirit of the present culture, treating each other with distrust and disdain and even contempt. Like John the 23rd said, we need to be about the good news of Jesus Christ, the evangel, and let the better angels of God's spirit in our soul rule. Like Joseph in our first reading today, like Joseph, he had to learn this. Joseph in today's gospel lesson knew his rights. He knew the woman to whom he was betrothed was pregnant. And he knew he had no relations with her. He knew his rights, and he could have her stoned to death for fornication. It was written in the Torah, in Leviticus. It was written in the Bible. His neighbors probably would say that Mary was a whore. And by saying, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, he could have divorced her. It was men could do that in those days. Yet, this is very interesting and surprising, he listened to an angel that appeared to him in a dream. He listened deeply from his soul. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph, and he listened. Not to what he saw with his eyes and what he heard the neighbors saying, all the gossip going around him about Mary. He listened to the angel of the Lord that appeared to him in a dream. He listened deeper than his mind and his logic and reason and even his religion. He listened from his heart. An angel, a real angel, appeared to him. I notice more and more people these days are wearing angel pins. I see it in stores. Books about angels are going into their second and third printings. I saw it in Singapore with people that weren't even Christian wearing angel pins. And there are plays about angels. There used to be a program, remember? Touched by an Angel? Movies about angels. Look, there's an angel right there. Angels are very popular. Why? Why? Well, I guess there's reasons for this, but I think the bottom line is we are more and more becoming aware that there is more to life than what we can see and hear and taste and touch and smell. There's another dimension. There is a place of love and goodness that is the capital T truth. There is another dimension from which safety and guardianship come into our lives for protection, for love, for a sense of peace, for a sense of direction. And we sense deep down in our souls, in our heart of hearts, that this is true. To we, here, the students, the disciples of Jesus Christ as our main teacher, this is not new. As you read the Bible, all through the Bible, there are stories of angels in the Old and New Testaments. And our Bible tells us that angels are what? Messengers from God. In fact, in Hebrew, in Aramaic, and in Greek languages, the word messenger and angel are identical. An angel is a messenger. A messenger is an angel. And this messenger from God came to Joseph, and a miracle happened. Joseph went against his moral code, his own understanding of God's word, his own rules and order, against his religious ethics. And he took his wife into his home, Mary, his pregnant wife, with whom he had no sexual relations. He took her into his home. And for she was to have a son who was Emmanuel, God with us. Not God out there, God with us. And he would save his people from their sins. Now, what do you think of that? Huh? A lot to think about, huh? Think of what his relatives and neighbors probably said. Think about Joseph's own doubts, along with his own faith. He's basing his decision on a message from an angel that he heard in a dream. Based on the angel's message, Joseph took Mary into his home. Now, last week you heard about John the Baptist was questioning about what Jesus was about, what God was doing, because God does things many times very differently than we anticipate, even a prophet. This week, Joseph was to learn to trust God through the message of an angel given to him in a dream. And Joseph trusted God beyond his senses, beyond his ethics, beyond his religion. And think about it. Think about it. Think about the risk that God took. Gabriel coming to Mary with the news, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee." What if Mary said no? What if she was too afraid? Think about the risk God took with Joseph. What if he would have said no to the angel? thought it was just a dream, some of his imagination, and he divorced Mary. Oh, we rationalize, well, God could have found another way. Don't be so sure. Don't be so sure. Where the word of God is not accepted, the word will go to others. Let's not forget about Noah and the flood. The word of God came to Noah and to the others. Noah believed, the others didn't. Noah was saved, the others were destroyed. Well, let's not speculate, but let's also not just drowsily hear this gospel lesson just before Christmas and forget the wonder, the awe, the miracle that took place. The miracle of the great faith of Mary and Joseph. The miracle of the great risk that God took. And Joseph believed, and he took Mary in, and they had a baby, and they named him Jesus. And through him we are all saved. Mary and Joseph, by their response in faith, also became messengers of the good news. The good news, or in other words, they became evangelists. Evangelism. Do you know what that means, evangelism? Good news, good news. Like the Christmas Eve angels we'll hear about on Tuesday night. We have good news of great joy that shall be for all people, for today in the city of David is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The Christmas Eve angels spoke the evangel, the evangel. Evangelism, it's telling the wonderful news to someone else, sharing the good news. It means you're so full of the love and the joy and the wonder of God, it just can't be kept in. It's got to overflow through your words, through your eyes, through your actions, how you spend your money, how you spend your time, how you listen to other people and love them, seeing the image of God in them too. And if you write out the word evangelism, E-V-A-N-G-E-L-I-S-M, what's right smack in the middle of that word? Angels. There is no coincidence. For an evangelist is also an angel, a messenger of the good news. Those gripped, affected by this good news, become evangelists, angels. Mary, after receiving the good news from Gabriel, what'd she do? She went and shared the good news with Elizabeth. She was an angel, a messenger. Joseph, after hearing the good news, went against law and custom and rules and took Mary into his home as his wife, and he traveled with her to Bethlehem. They were God's angels. And so with you, as you hear the good news today, you eat and drink the good news, you hear the good news, you pray the good news, you sing the good news. I see out here, what do you get? How many people here today? How many people?
45.
Okay, over 40 potential or current angels. Like Joseph, like Mary. Please, don't be weighed down by the powers and principalities of this age, as heavy as they can be. As St. Paul says, do not be like the people of this world, but let God change the way you think. Then you will know how to do everything that is good and pleasing to God. Let the good news of this day, the good news of this season, the good news of God with us inspire you to be good news people, to tell the good news, to be an evangelist. As John the 23rd reminds us, we need to let the better angels in our souls rule. We have good news. Share the good news. Be an angel. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.